Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I know there are a ton of podcasts out there, and I'm so happy you're right here listening. Now, if you like to watch Easy Goings here Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern time on my YouTube channel, I host a live premiere, which allows me, my YouTube community, at The Real Lisa Ann, to just kind of engage. We catch up on our weeks when the monologue is happening. Some people have already listened to the podcast before. Some people are listening for the first time. I did miss this Friday night, and I will get to why as we do a little catch up. I do have a guest today. This does continue the conversation of the theme of sports that I had celebrated the entire month of September, which marked the 10-year anniversary of me talking fantasy sports and sports betting, the 10-year anniversary of me working with my boss, Matt Deutsch, who was with SiriusXM Fantasy, who now has his company, Better Sports Network, aligned with Fantasy Alarm. Just the fact that 10 years has flown by, and I love every minute of it. I've met great people, and I've been sharing them with you along the way here just to kind of really remind myself, like, wow, 10 years, this has flown by. In that 10-year span, I released 2 books. I have a shipping special going on right now for anybody who isn't into football. You can go to my store, shoplisaann.com, and use the promo code football at checkout to get free shipping. But just so much has happened in those 10 years, you know, and it's been great to celebrate. And it's also been great to introduce all of you to some of the great people that I get to engage with, whether we initially met on social media and then got to meet doing a show, or we got to meet at an event like this past August in Canton, Ohio at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you haven't watched those videos yet, they're all on my YouTube channel. Everywhere I go that I get to take Kay, I do vlogs. There's a daily vlog for every single day I was in Canton. So check out my vlog series as well. You'll see new things landing on my YouTube channel as I've gathered all of the clips that I've collected over all of this time, the different edits of the mailbag, the different edits of conversations. And I'm sitting on about 2,500 of them, which were organized over the past 2 weeks. I've been just telling myself that if you can put in 2 hours a day, streamline these down, cleaning up some hard drives, making sure I have an exact backup, making sure I have everything situated. And once I did that, I was actually able to take inventory and say, okay, now it's time to utilize these. Because once you get caught up with these 2,500, then you could do it each week as you go and you won't be behind, but I don't want to not share them. So I put in a solid 8 hours yesterday. I did 4 hours in the morning. Then I went out for a walk in between the rain. Then I got a massage. Then I came back, got to catch up with my friend Bob Harris on the phone for a little bit. And then I got right back at it as I watched the testimonials that they do on 90 Day. Well, this one was, you know, the testimonial after the couples have gone to this couples retreat. So I had to watch it. What do they call those things? They're not testimonials. They do them in 2-part series. They're amazing. But it's not something you really need to be staring at. So it works really well to do that while I'm doing a task. I set up in my living room. My coffee table pops up as a desk. And I just kind of feel like I'm not really working because I'm not in my office. I'm in my living room watching TV and just putzing. But I ended up getting through about 150 of them yesterday. I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm going to chug along at them. Here, you're going to have a lot more updates on my YouTube channel. But it is week 4 in the NFL. Week 4 for me hosting every Thursday night at Sapphire 39 in New York City. And I got to say, I'm loving this gig. So I'm putting together a podcast for the Sapphire franchise. I am the host. It is called Lisa Ann's Backstage Convos. And with that said, I am doing those. Normally, we're trying to do them Thursdays before my event. So I go over to the club at like 4:30. I do 2 interviews, then I get a little bit of a break, and then I go down and I host. And when I'm sitting down there and different groups of my friends have been coming in, and last week it was me, Joanna Angel, and Small Hands. And we just had the greatest time. Like, I love that part of my life from California, people that I knew from one walk of life, now they're living here with me in New York, and it's just been great to get to know them more and be even closer. And I've loved Joanna for years. And if you could, go to Joanna's Instagram at Joanna Angel. Joanna Angel is running the New York Marathon and she's raising money for breast cancer. So please, it's a great cause. She's got the donation link right there, but go over there and support Joanna. So it's incredible that Joanna is running these marathons and also that she's raising money for a great cause. Another funny Joanna story, who did think the Detroit Lions were the Dallas Cowboys up until like halfway through the game. We laughed so hard. And as we were like getting things together, you know, Andrew from Sapphire, who's so amazing, knew that Joanna and Aaron came all the way from Brooklyn and the club has a party bus. So right away, Andrew's like, look, we'll have our driver, Bruce, take you guys back to Brooklyn tonight. We love that you're coming in here to watch the games. We want to make sure you're well taken care of. And Bruce drove them all the way back in the rain back to Brooklyn, which was awesome. And just nice to be working around just a really kind, considerate group of people. I'm really happy to be doing these Thursday nights. I am at Sapphire 39 every single Thursday night for the entire NFL season. And as for Sapphire in Vegas, you can follow on Instagram at Sapphire702. I drop a betting pick every Monday for Sapphire, so you can check those out too. I'm doing all right. You know, I went against the grain last week. I went for the over and I had a gut feeling it was going to be the under and I challenged myself and I was wrong. And these things happen. You get this hunch and you don't want to go with it because it doesn't make mathematical sense. And then you're sitting there at halftime and there's not enough points up and you're like, this is not going to be an over. That is the world of sports betting. And we are in it to win it, just like I will be with today's conversation. But Friday rolled around. And Friday, New York City is getting this rain. Like I'm sure you all saw on the news, the subways are flooded, roads are flooded, Brooklyn is flooded. And I have a dinner reservation for my first visit to my friend's new restaurant, Ambra, which is down Lower East Side, right by Whitehurst Tavern. Could not wait to go. This is the first opportunity I had to go. And I made the reservation with Aaliyah and two of Aaliyah's girlfriends from college who I adore because we know that Aaliyah recently had to put her dog down and also is planning on leaving New York. So I wanted to do a really special dinner, but it's flooding. And the news is like, there's all these alerts going off on my phone. I'm doing sports radio for my Friday and I don't even know if I'm going to have internet. My computer's like going in and out. It was crazy. So I get to the point where I'm like, I kind of got to text Aaliyah, like, see how she, what she's vibing on for tonight. I assumed we weren't going because it was flooding everywhere. I reached out to Aaliyah around 2-ish and Aaliyah's like, I can't wait to go tonight. You know? And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, she's in. I obviously have to be in. I got to be all in. So I start looking at the weather app and I realize, you know what? She's right. It's going to slow down by 4. It's going to be a drizzle by 5. We're meeting at 7. It's supposed to stop raining at 6. Hopefully the roads will drain, because we've got to go from higher elevation where we live down to the Lower East Side, which is lower elevation. But you know what? Not going to cancel my friend. So we're rallying. So we're going to meet up there and we're going to go to dinner. We didn't have any plans after, but we're like, we're doing this. We get to dinner. I'm getting tons of texts from people all over the world that are just catching up with the evening news and realizing that New York is flooded. And I'm like, hey, everything's great. You know, I'm out to dinner with my girlfriends. Like, so it's such parallel worlds when news is coming in. Like, let's say you're a person on the West Coast, you're watching your evening news and you're seeing all of this. This is when you're hitting me up and I'm like, oh, we're out. We're like, what? It's fine. It's absolutely fine. We did all carry umbrellas. And as a New Yorker that buys about 25 umbrellas a year, the real challenge is, once I carry an umbrella, I very seldom have to use it, but I do have to not lose it. So not losing the umbrella, 4 of us carrying 4 umbrellas, we're like, we've got this, right? Sit down to eat for the most beautiful Italian meal. Please follow at Ambra NYC. Please add Ambra to your destinations when you come to the city. The atmosphere is beautiful. The vibe is, it's the people were beautiful. The vibe is amazing. The staff was great, but it was a meal like an Italian meal from Italy. And this is something that Aaliyah's not truly used to, because as we got tons of salads and tons of appetizers and we're opening our second bottle of wine and we're there, we're just enjoying the pace, because in Italy, the faster you eat does not mean the faster they serve you. No, in Italy, it is a pace of a meal and you eat in these, you know, segments. So we have all these appetizers and salads and then all these beautiful pastas come out. Plates and plates and plates of pastas. I put a reel up on my IG at the release and plates and plates. And so Aaliyah, I think, thinks we're done. And we have to tell Aaliyah, like, this is a real Italian meal. that pasta was just the mid-ground of the meal. It was the middle of it. Like, this is what you do. You eat in these phases. And when things are served to you slowly, and you eat them, and you drink more wine, and you're having more conversation, and the food is pure, everything just digests, and you eat it, and you don't feel stuffed. You feel full and comfortable, and they're all sharing plates. And so we eat the pasta. Aaliyah thinks we're done. I'm like, this has just begun. Okay, like, there's a ton more food coming out. And the chef came out and greeted us and was just making us a special table. We didn't have to worry about the menu. We got to taste absolutely everything. So then the rest of the meal comes out. And Aaliyah's like, this is so much food. I'm like, yeah, it's so good. We went through four bottles of wine. There was four of us. But we were there for hours. Okay, we were there for hours on hours. We weren't looking at the clock. I have no idea what time it was when we left. But when we left, we were just feeling that, wow, it's beautiful outside now while we're carrying these umbrellas. And what do we want to do? I'm like, well, you know, let's get a cab. Let's go to Times Square. Let's go to the W. It's always a great people watching place. You get some locals that like use it as a watering hole and like a lot of tourists that are there for different things. So it's just the perfect, it's not really too packed ever. There's a lounge. So you can usually get these circular seats where you can put a nice group of people in, which we did. And we had some cocktails there, but now we want to start dancing. And there's this hole in the wall that I go to all the time, the Fiddler. And it's one of these places that I don't know when it closes. I know I've walked out of there at 4 or 5 and 6 in the morning. Like, I know that it's late, right? And it's a great vibe. It's young. It's never any drama. I've never seen a fight in there. It's just like a Times Square stop that everybody just goes to. And we watch the crowd. It gets busy. Everyone comes in, has like one drink, and then they're moving to their next spot. Because I got to tell you, New Yorkers were out in force after all that rain. Everyone was walking on the street. Everyone was roaming around. So now it's the, you know, now it's the wee hours of the morning. And now I feel like my meal is gone. I know there's an awesome pizza place down the street. And I'm like, guys, I got to get a slice of pizza. If I'm out past 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get a slice of pizza. So we go to the pizza shop. Of course, I overorder. I get a couple pieces. And they still wanted to go out. At this point, I'm going to go home. I've had a great time. I know I got a lot of work to do the next day. I had a great time. Let them go out. And plus, these are Aaliyah's friends. And she so kindly introduced them to me that they're going to be my friends when Aaliyah moves. And I'm like, this is also maybe one of her last big nights out with her friends. So I get home and I'm just sitting out on my patio because it was so beautiful out. It's like 2:30 in the morning and I'm just sitting out there in my bathrobe. I love to take a shower, put on my bathrobe, and then sit outside. I don't know. It's something about sitting out on a patio over the city. And I'm thinking about how beautiful the night was, how incredible the meal at Ambra was, and how amazing New Yorkers are that like anywhere else I lived, that much rain early in the day, all plans would be canceled. Everything would be canceled. Things would be closing. But in New York, it's like, have you been looking at the weather app? We're going to be fine. The floodwater will be away. Yes, they're showing it on the news. Yes, there's an alert out there. Yes, there's a state of emergency. Yes, all of these things are happening, but we have a dinner reservation. And what's interesting about us having a dinner reservation, no one else skipped theirs either. That place was packed. There were people waiting to get in when we were leaving, and everywhere else we went in the city was packed. Those are the New York nights that make me love living here so much. The freedom to not have any plans, but still find a ton of things to do. It's just something that's so unique to this city. Places where you don't have a car and you're not worried about those things, but nowhere else have I lived have I been able to be so spontaneous and just continue the fun and then end the fun when you want to. It's just so easy here. So I had a great time. It was an awesome weekend, awesome week last week, and just loving these NFL Sundays and everything that comes along with it. Speaking of NFL Sundays, my guest today, who you're going to follow at TKingMode, now with RotoBaller. I know we all get so much great information from RotoBaller. That is my friend and now your friend, Troy King. The football season is here and all of my friends, we just can't stop talking about it. That would be where you would find my friend Troy King on Twitter at TKingMode. Some of the best sports content going out there. Troy, thanks for making the time because I know this is our season. We're drafting fantasy football teams on the daily. We're making prop bets. We're planning ahead for futures. A lot is going on and here we are.
Look, Lisa, I appreciate you inviting me. I'm so excited. You're right. I can't believe the season is so close. It feels like I blinked and it's already here. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to dive in this with you. Oh my God, it's incredible. It's like, wait's finally over.
So was football your first sport that you fell in love with as a kid?
It was. I played it a little bit, you know, growing up, and I basically entered into a Miami Dolphins family. My dad's obsessed with the Miami Dolphins. Okay. My mom is too. So loved it ever since I was a kid.
So that makes sense. Your affiliation. We were born into teams. Some people don't understand that. I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't know if I would have chose the Cowboys, but you're born into it. It just becomes part of your fiber. And there's no changing. You're also in Florida, but your love of football has now turned into you creating football content, fantasy football. You've been with Yahoo Fantasy. You've been with the football guys. How did it start for you where you realized this is going to be my thing?
So in terms of being introduced to fantasy, I got into fantasy through a fantasy football league. And then the pandemic's really what got me into like the fantasy industry, because you were inside, there's nothing else to do. I didn't know fantasy Twitter was a thing. I was just on Twitter. I stumbled upon it. I realized that there was more than just like ESPN and Yahoo. There was all these other fantasy football analysts and content. So I was just kind of talking to people and I realized that, I was just kind of into it, and it was very interesting to me. And then I just started networking, and I got into the Scott Fishbowl, and from there I was asked to be part of a company to do fantasy content. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird, people actually making fantasy football content. And then after that, I first started writing, and then after I started writing, people wanted me to be a guest on their podcast. I thought that was weird. Like, wait, people do podcasts for these things? And I jumped on the podcast and people enjoyed it. I remember my first fantasy football podcast, I was trying to sound so smart and read all these stats, trying to people make it seem like I knew what I was talking about. But then after I got my rhythm, I was just myself. And then people gravitated towards me. I got to know other people, and the rest is history. Now I'm talking here with you.
Yeah, it's such a funny thing, right? Because when I got introduced to it in 2013, I kind of didn't realize it was this whole world, right? And the fact that I decided to read all the books on the origin of fantasy football, do you realize that before the fax machine and before the internet, the commissioner was responsible to handwrite out and mail the stats to everybody in the league?
That is insanity. I could not imagine that.
I would have lost interest at that point, right? And they would all have the box scores added up to make sure that the commissioner didn't make a math mistake. I mean, this had to be like a 3-4 day job for the commissioner if the commission has a job. So it's come a long way. And social media is such a great tool for it. What surprised me the most, and I wonder if you have this same feeling, Troy, is just how many people from different walks of life, whether they're in this space as just a fan and they end up getting into the fishbowl or getting into other drafts with us, or content creators, writers, radio, podcasts, it's so much larger of a world that I think people realize.
I know, I feel the exact same way. Like, I've met people from all over the world through fantasy football, and I've been able to attend live events like the Expo where I met you, and different live drafts like in California and here in Florida, and just seeing other people and interacting again with people in New Zealand, Australia, and there's so many fantasy football fans across the world. I just never knew how big it was until I got into the space, was networking, got to meet people. So yeah, it's been incredible. And it just goes to show, you don't know what you don't know. So
you don't know what you don't know. And you think about the people that are involved, like you said, globally. As adults, I think we kind of get into a dead zone with like hobbies and how do you meet new people, right? How, you know, you're not just going to go out and just start a conversation with a random person at the bar. You know what I mean? Like, and you don't want to talk to people at the gym because that's like your quiet time. Like, we have all these things and work can take over. And I found like I've met some great friends in this space. And now that it's becoming a lot more inclusive, like when I first started, there were very few women at the events, like at FSGA, and now it's so much bigger and broader. The friendship factor in fantasy sports is next level.
No, absolutely. I've met some of my best friends are, you know, part of the fantasy space. Like, I could name a bunch of them. I know, you know, my friend Laquan Jones, like him and I are best friends now, and Lawrence Jackson, I know you know him. So I can name like off a million people, but some of my closest friends are from this space. And my real life friends call them my internet friends, but to me they're my friends. But it's just funny trying to explain to people, oh, I met some of my best friends on Twitter. People don't understand that, but no, it's been incredible.
It's funny you say that, because I have a couple friends that say that to me too, and they kind of side-eye me when they say it, like, oh yeah, your internet. I'm like, and then when I went to Canton and took pictures with everybody, got to meet all of you in person, I was like, are they real to you now because I have pictures? Like, because we talk so freely, and like, it's a cool place to be able to have a lot of friends and not really have to dig in too much on each other's personal lives, because we are so much worried about our players, our expectations, our opinions. So when you first started creating content, what did you find was challenging for you? Was it comments? Was it over trying? Because you said your first podcast, we all did that. I showed up with a stack of paper, my first radio show. You'll never get through it. It's unnecessary. And when you're following it like we are, it does just flow off your top of your tongue.
Yeah, I would say when I first started, kind of like you said, it was just challenging, just trying to find the balance between entertaining and making sure I'm providing the correct information to educate people. So finding that balance, because there's a lot of people who are very knowledgeable, know their stats and all that, but there are a lot of people who are boring, let's be honest with you. And there's some people who are entertaining that don't know what they're talking about. So finding that marriage of the two, I think, is extremely important. And it's, again, as you like get into a routine, as long as you get consistent and start doing different shows, you get more in the rhythm and you find that balance. But I would say that was definitely the hardest thing for me to figure that out.
Yeah, because who do you want to work? What side are you leaning on? I think we are seeing, you know, a better balance. I remember, like, if you ever listen to like fantasy baseball podcasts, like when I used to, I covered fantasy baseball for 2 years and it was grueling. I didn't enjoy it. And I just want to stick with the sports I love, which is, of course, NBA is my first love, NFL, second love. You know, I'll do some UFC, I'll do some golf. But like the baseball podcasts, I would try to listen. It was so much stats. It was so boring that I would find myself drifting. And I'm like, how did that podcast end? And I did not retain one thing.
Oh my gosh. And I'm not a huge baseball guy, but from my friends who are into fantasy baseball, they've told me similar things. So I can only imagine.
It's a drag. What did you do before you were in the fantasy space, Troy?
Sure. So I still kind of do it now, but I'm a project manager by day. You know, I have like an undergrad in marketing, master's, my MBA. So definitely a lot of things going on. But before in the fantasy space, just I guess those are my day jobs that I do. But like just hobbies, you know, just sports, playing football with my friends, basketball, you know, things like that.
Oh my gosh, you have a master's degree. Where did you go to school?
Sure. So I went to Nova Southeastern. It's a smaller school, but my undergrad I went to UCF. So I'm based out of Orlando. So I've been in Orlando because I went to UCF, got my marketing degree, and been here ever since. You know, go Knights. They're playing tonight too. So
there is nothing like college sports when it comes to the fandom, the fun, the friends you'll make that you'll be in friends with for the rest of your life. There's nothing like. Are you in a college fantasy football league with any of your college friends?
No, I'm not. I would say that it's not just my college friends. Like I keep close. I happen to be like one of my college friends might be in a league with like other mutual friends, but I'm not just for like UCF people.
So when you're at work, are you able to keep in touch? Do you just look at updates on your phone? Because, you know, right now with camp going on, it's got to be so stressful because you're going to a draft. I'll give you an example. I had a draft last Thursday night. Thursday day, Cortland Sutton was carted off the practice field. And Thursday night, I wasn't going to tell my league mates that I knew I had to work during the day. And so, you know, one of my guys comes up and I see him typing in Jerry Jeudy. And my friend nudges me. He's like, should we tell him? I'm like, I'm sorry, but we just can't. He doesn't have the information. You know, that's on him. And then afterwards, I took Cortland Sutton. I'm like, I'll make you a fair deal for Cortland Sutton somewhere down the road since Jerry Jeudy's going to be out for a while. But how do you manage that? Because a lot can happen during the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my day job probably wouldn't like it. But, you know, I definitely am on Twitter probably more than I should be. And I'm hybrid. You know, I work from home sometimes, which obviously makes it easy to be on Twitter. If I'm in the office, you know, I make sure I stay up to date, you know. So I feel like over these past 3 or so years I've been in this space, like I've had to find sneaky ways to make sure I'm getting my information because, you know, I'm going to do my job, but I'm going to also make sure I'm staying up to date because, you know, I don't want to fall behind.
And also, like, if a topical, if something happens and everybody's already talked about it on Twitter, you feel like I can't enter the room now.
Oh,
this
no.
News you, it was can't be late 2 hours ago. It's the worst. That's the worst feeling because it's always something that you have the best response to. And you're like, man, I wish I could have been in the game with this one.
Oh my gosh. And that's exactly how I feel, man. Like, I can't be too far behind. I got to stay up to date. I got to be first. Well, not be first, but I just got to be in the loop, right? Because you no one wants to be that late person to the party because no one cares anymore. They moved on to the next thing.
Yeah, no one. And you don't want to be made fun of because you were so late with it.
Exactly.
So how many fantasy football leagues will you be in this year?
Oh boy. Don't tell my wife, but I'm in 20. I got to leave like half of them next year because I've been in too many. I've been saying that, but it's a mix of dynasty and redraft and best ball, but 20 leagues. But you know, like a lot of them are industry leagues. The ones I care about the most are the ones with my friends from back home. Those are the most competitive, the most ish talking, you know, those are the leagues that I care about the most. And my pride's on the line. It's funny. After this, I actually have my home league draft after this. So it's a big deal. So I got to make sure I'm prepared.
Is it in person or online?
It is online, unfortunately, but it's my biggest league. I got to win this year, Lisa. I got to win.
Do you know where you're drafting from?
I've actually got the 101 for the first time. So
Oh my gosh.
I'm definitely going Justin Jefferson. It's a half PPR, 12-person league.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fair pick. The only other pick I would say is Christian McCaffrey, but there's going to be some good running back. How do you like being? So for those of you who don't know fantasy football, which would be crazy, but if you don't, in a snake draft style, you'll start out with pick one. It'll go all the way to 12. 12 does pick one of second round. And then you, how do you like being at the end where you have to make two decisions at one time?
So I feel like there's pros and cons to it. I love having back-to-back picks because I feel like I can dictate what's going to happen next. Because one of the things about fantasy football is like, I'd rather start the run. I don't want to be like on the tail end of a run. So let's say that I wanted to pick, because I'm going Justin Jefferson, right? So I can either go wide receiver heavy. So I could go like Chris Olave, T. Higgins,
Diggs,
right? At that. And
Diggs,
then
if he's there. Yeah. Yeah.
And then people are going to like, and that's going to dictate how something go. Or maybe I reach and I get a quarterback and then maybe other people might get their quarterbacks early. So I do like that. It's just, you have to wait so long until you're picked. So sometimes I'm seeing players, I'm getting sniped back to back to back, and I just have to wait patiently until it's my turn. So I feel there's pros and cons to it, but I'd say that overall, I love the back-to-back picks.
Yeah, I like this season. My sweet spot has been about 8 or 9. I like the fact that I can kind of survey what everybody's doing. I don't have to feel the pressure to make two decisions. But in a couple of best ball, I was at the end. I'm like, all right, I'll just take for 12, I'll take Steph Diggs and I'll take Josh Allen. Like, you know, you kind of set up a whole new strategy there. But 20 leagues is great because it's a content machine. It's endless of what you can talk about, whether it's a waiver wire, whether it's a trade that you made. Like, I'm planning on trading more this year because I'm in a couple 14 team leagues. And I just feel like in a 14 team league, it's just trash on the waiver wire.
It is. We're actually in a league together on Fantrax next week. So I'm going to be wary of you. You know, I'm going to try to snipe you. I got to make sure I bring my A game.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I have 5 more drafts until I actually get to sit back and just be like, okay, the season starts. I feel like it's an episode of Chopped where they tell them the clock is up and they have to walk away. Like, no more drafting. But I'm the same. Like, I'm in way too many leagues. And then each year I say I'm going to get out of some. And then someone new will say, I have one spot. You know, we want to come to this. I'm like, yes. Then sometimes I say yes on the go on a text. And then later I'm like, what have you done with yourself? But it's fun. And again, you're building that community. Now, this was my first time going to Canton for the Fantasy Football Expo. Have you gone before?
Yes, this was actually my 3rd year going. So I feel like I'm a little bit of a vet.
It's so great. It's such a great event.
It's so special. And I feel like my first, and it's kind of like what we were talking about before, like it's my meeting my internet friends for the first time. The first time I went, a little bit of anxiety. You meet so many people all at once and you know them, but you don't know them. So you don't know how it's going to be. But once I got to see people, everyone's just the same as they are online. So it's just natural once you kind of get settled in, but it's so awesome. It keeps getting better and better every year. And obviously I got to meet you this year and you're obviously as awesome as you are online, as you are in person. So yeah.
I won't miss that event. It's just a great team building exercise for all of us in the industry, because I know you and I, and also Laquan, talked about maybe doing some IG lives through the season. Yeah. I mean, for us, it's endless networking. And also, like, because you're meeting your internet friends in person, I find that now I'm more comfortable when I see a bunch of tweets. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to respond to this person. I just saw them at the expo. Yep. Like, you are, you know, everybody's fresh back in. It's just like any other walk of life, any other thing you do for work, conferences, conventions, things are very important. Now, FSGA, you're a member, and I've gone to the events, but they're very different because we're talking about industry things and doing different panels. What's your involvement with the FSGA?
Sure. So I just recently got into it. I haven't made out to the conference yet. I'm dying to go. I've heard some great things. And like you said, it's a little bit different than the expo because it's more industry, you know, focused, but I want to get out there. So, you know, again, just for networking and connecting with people. So that's definitely on my bucket list for sure.
I find, you know, there's a lot of panels that, you know, could be considered boring, but I remember we were going through the gambling part of this all. Do you remember back in 2015, the DFS and fantasy sports were getting kind of targeted? Is this gambling? And there was this big fight that FanDuel and DraftKings had to put together. And then we started state by state. And I found it really interesting sitting in those rooms and listening to the lawyers and understanding how this goes down, why it's so different by state. Are you also a sports bettor, Troy King?
So I try to be. So in Florida, it's not legal.
Oh, that's right. You it's have to not do like what, prize points or underdog, right?
Where yeah, it's I not- can do DFS. So I can do DFS. I can do underdog, things like that. But I can't do your other type of betting, right? So sometimes, like if I'm in another state, I try to take advantage as much as possible. But yeah, for right now, I'm just doing DFS. So I feel like, you know, I see you doing awesome content and everyone else doing betting content. I'm like, I wish I could participate. I'm going to support y'all. But once Florida legalizes it, you know, I'm gonna start ramping it up.
I mean, at least you can still do DFS. But yeah. I mean, there's just sometimes you look at a prop and you're like, I can't not bet that prop. And, you know, betting adds such a layer to it. And I think fantasy makes you better at betting because you're actually, you're expecting X amount from your players. So you are a Miami Dolphins fan. We now know that probably JT is not making the move there, right? How do you feel about this?
You're hurting my heart bringing this up.
It's tough, right?
It's absolutely tough. And then obviously we saw the news about Jeff Wilson going on IR and the Dolphins have been in on trying to get Dalvin Cook, and basically they're trying to get Josh Jacobs and so many other running backs, because I feel like that's the one thing. Like, our running backs are fine. We have a committee, but to keep Tua healthy, we need a consistent run game. And, you know, there's a little bit of hope that we can maybe get JT. The Colts are kind of unreasonable right now, but I think that that's the one piece that's stopping us from being a Super Bowl contender, right? I think our run game is fine, but clearly the Dolphins are known for their electric offense with Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, and that's fine. But to keep Tua healthy, we need a consistent run game. So I'm hoping they figure it out this year.
Yeah, you also need a run game so teams don't figure you out and blanket your receivers. I mean, not that anybody can blanket Tyreek. I love listening to players come on and talk about what it's like to try to cover Tyreek. And they talk about the fact that you turn around, you don't even know where he is because he's so fast. Like, it's just, he's electric, and he's proved to us what a great receiver he is going to a new team, playing lights out football, but the run game is incredibly important. Who do you have going to the Super Bowl this season?
Ooh, I got to go Chiefs. I feel like that's a very chalky pick, but you know, until you beat the champ, you know, that old saying. So I'll say I got the Chiefs, and the NFC is so much harder for me. I guess I'm not going to say Eagles again. That's too
I don't have my second. I don't have my second team yet either. So, you know,
I'll say 49ers.
Wow. That would be incredible. Right. And I could see it. We saw how good they were with Brock Purdy last year. Sam Darnold, the Trey Lance thing, as a Cowboys fan, the Trey Lance thing was like wild, but at the same time, he pretty much cost Dallas nothing.
Fourth round pick,
like nothing. And it's not that we're going to replace Dak, but you know, there's always an injury. You're always an injury away. It's not even that he's going to be the second, he's going to be the third. It's a strange thing because I was also hoping the Cowboys would get JT because without Ezekiel Elliott, though I love Tony Pollard, I do not want him to have that much work. And those end zone targets that Zeke got, what, 12 of them last season, who's going to do that and still be standing by week 10?
Yeah, I feel like the Cowboys are interesting, right? Because you don't have anyone behind Tony Pollard unless you guys go
Ronald Jones. I mean, really? Ronald Jones? We picked up Ronald Jones?
And you have like Rico Dowdle or whatever his name is. And
yep.
And maybe Juice you guys signed Leonard Fournette. Maybe you guys signed Kareem Hunt. I don't know. But I mean, look, if Tony Pollard stays healthy, awesome. I just think that you guys needed more depth in the running back position. But you mentioned Trey Lance. I it's kind of full circle, right? Because the 49ers basically gave the Dolphins so many first-round picks that turned into Tyreek, Waddle, and Bradley Chubb. So it's just funny how that comes full circle. But now, and you guys got him for a fourth-round pick. So the 49ers, they're lucky they found Brock Purdy, or like, you know, there would be a lot of people fired because of that decision.
Mr. Irrelevant goes out there and is recovered from that injury as well. But yeah, I've got the Chiefs. It kind of reminds me of, it mimics like 10 years ago where it was impossible to not say the Patriots were going back to the Super Bowl. You couldn't yet give your secondary. But it's different because we like Kansas City. There's just this young energy. Patrick Mahomes is awesome. You know, Kelce is so entertaining. Him and George Kittle both are just so incredibly entertaining. I love when George Kittle does like WWE stuff. Like, they're dynamic. We've loved seeing what Andy Reid has been able to do. And Mahomes is just so interesting because there could be a Juju can come and go, a Mecole Hardman can come and go. Like, he just adapts, you know. And we thought last year with no Tyreek that they had no chance. And look what they did.
I know that goes back to the coaching, that goes back to the players, just like you were talking about. There's an incredibly well-ran team, and it's going to be hard to stop them, right? They dominate the division. The Chargers might give them, you know, some fits this year. They're going to be better, but I think that the Super Bowl is going to go through, you know, Kansas City.
Agreed. How do you like to watch football? Do you watch it in a group setting? Do you like to be home? Let's picture a typical Sunday during the NFL season, Troy.
A typical Sunday for me is me by myself at home yelling at the TV, watching Red Zone. I have to watch Red Zone because I need to be able to watch all the games. I can't watch one game at a time because there's so many things going on for fantasy. I need to know what's happening, right? I might not understand like all the details, but I know enough where I'm like, okay, like this player's doing this, this player's hurt. So it's me by myself watching Red Zone. I like to go out sometimes to a bar, but I feel like it's way more distracting. I'm not paying attention to the game. So I like watching the games at home.
I'm with you. So Sunday mornings, I'm sure you're doing a bunch of content. You're answering a bunch of start sit questions. Everyone can ask at T King Mode on Twitter.
Absolutely.
And then there's that little window where like I do a live stream. So I'm, you know, going over the weather and start sits. And then you got to like obsess again on your leagues. You're like, all right, I got to make one more pass through all of my leagues. By the time the first game starts at 1, I'm making myself a massive like breakfast, late breakfast, early lunch. I like to be home. If it's a standalone, like every Thursday night this year, I'm hosting at a club in the city. It's one game, right? But if there's multiple games, I want Red Zone on my main TV. And then my office TV is on wheels intentionally. I roll that out to the living room and put it over here. And then what I do is I'm able to flick back and forth with one game and have this on. But Red Zone has changed the way we digest everything. We know if somebody's going into the blue tent. We know about injuries. We know about penalties. And when there's 6 teams in the Red Zone at one time, I love that look.
Oh, yeah.
I love being like, okay.
No, it's like Disneyland. I love that too. It's the adrenaline. You don't know who's going to score. And then sometimes, like you said, especially when I have my fantasy team, I either rooting for them to score or I don't let them score. Like, no. Or it's like I have players in different leagues. So like I need them to score one league, but I don't want them to score in another. So it's just an emotional roller coaster.
It is that is the worst feeling. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I have Josh Jacobs. He had 3 touchdowns. Oh no, I'm facing Josh Jacobs in another 4 leagues. Like, it's like, but it's just the passion and it's gotten us so much deeper into it. And though it's an intense day, I look forward to it. You know, summer, we're out, we're doing our things. Like, I look forward to that afternoon of being still. I've got a really big chair and I lay everything out, you know, your iPad, you got your phones, you can be tweeting, maybe your laptop's on your lap. There's a lot of interaction going on, but you're doing it in your own space. You can go to the bathroom when you want, get a snack when you want. I don't even really enjoy going to games because you never really get good Wi-Fi and you never know on a Sunday, you're missing out on so much that by the time you get to Twitter, you're right back where we talked about earlier. You can't add anything in because you're 2 hours late.
Oh, no, exactly. And you've inspired me. I need to get a TV with wheels because that sounds awesome. I need to invest in a TV with wheels.
So you just get the cart, like the TV stand, like they're for like offices, like if they were going to do presentations. Yeah. I assembled that thing and lifted my TV and put it up on there myself. I love when a box tells me it's a two-person job, Troy.
Look,
and I'm
look,
like,
you look strong, Lisa. I know you got
like,
this.
I am two people. I will prop it up on my knee. It will be a painful situation. I may have a scratch or two afterwards, but it will get done.
You
and
got
so get the wheels because I can even, there's power on my patio. So I can even, and also I made sure that I got the wireless cable box. So then you don't have to worry about the cords. You just have the wireless. All you have to do is plug in the TV.
Man, you've inspired me. I got to make sure my setup is right. I mean, the season's next week, but maybe mid-season I might have that set up.
And what does the wife do all day on Sunday when you're yelling at the television?
She's far away as possible. She's not a football fan at all, but she understands my involvement, my passion for it. So she's doing anything in the world but watching it with me.
Well, I get that. And you know what? We'd rather not feel guilty that our partner doesn't love football. We want to sit there all day because if they want to talk, we're like, sorry, no can do, no can do. Well, Troy, I loved getting to sit and chat with you. It was so nice to finally meet you this year in Canton. I know we'll be reconnecting again at other fantasy events in the future, doing some social media stuff. We're in a league together. I'd love to have you on one night with Howard Bender and I. We could talk about our matchup on Better Sports Network. But your content is great. And you putting up that breaking news photo with Laquan was just fantastic.
Oh my God. I appreciate it. And because we always have this thing back and forth about the Glizzy Gobbler. So we make fun of each other. So that's kind of our bit. So you're going to see that a lot more often, but I'm going to let him know that. So he's going to get me back for sure. He's already plotted his revenge.
Oh, you better watch your back. Thanks so much for
nervous.
Joining me.
I'm a little nervous.
Thanks for joining me, Troy. Everybody give him a follow at TKingMode on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
That was such a great conversation. Just got to meet Troy, just like so many of the guests from this month. But the celebration of me, 10 years. 10 years in this space and watching it grow, watching it get better, watching it be more inclusive, watching it just expand in such a beautiful way. I have just had some of the greatest conversations, even Thursday nights at the club. Joanna and Aaron got to see it firsthand. So I sit at VIP Area 13. I love that spot. It's got the perfect view of the TV and a backup TV. The DJ's right there. And I get to sit on an end where there's a walkway. So like so many guys walk up to me and talk to me right there. It's perfect. And they'll hand me their phone and have me look at their waiver wire, have me check out their lineups, have me do everything under the sun. And it's just so cool to get to be a part of their lineups and their seasons. So you're all going to follow at TKingMode for Troy King. You can check out Troy's work at Rotoballer and you can check out some live games, some Broadway shows, some concerts, and a lot of new additions to the squads and teams that you have access to through TicketRev. Follow on social media at TicketRev. Go to TicketRev.com to learn more and download the app today. TicketRev is a place where buyers pay no fees. Only the seller pays fees. I don't know how many times I've gone to check out of buying tickets, show tickets, concert tickets, and you think it's one price. Okay, the tickets were $399 each. Okay, great. So we're going to be at about $800, some with tax, $900. It's like $1,200. No fees for the buyer at TicketRev. That should make it something you want to do. Here we go. And it's the moment you've all been waiting for. The Ask Lisa Ann mailbag. Here we go. And if you want to be a part of the mailbag, you can ask me anything at asklisaann@gmail.com. Don't forget, I don't answer the emails in person, though I did one this week, only because it was a lineup question. And it's one of my regular emailers. And I was like, you know, I gotta answer this. He needs it set for his lineup. So I'm going to answer this email, but I don't email out of AskLisaAnn at gmail.com. I verbally answer them all right here, and we've got four today, so let's get this party started. Eppa says, "Hello, Miss Lisa. I'm Eppa. I'm a fan of you. I'm from New Jersey. I would love to meet with you. I have a question. Would you make a scene with 25 years old like me?" So here we are again with the parasocial situations, the confusion with the internet. When somebody says "like me" to an email, what do you mean? How do I know what you're like? How would I know what you're like by you typing words into an email, Eppa? Doesn't that seem off to you? You kind of gave me a "like me." Well, I don't know. Like you what? I retired from doing scenes years ago. If you are, though, one of those people that's interested in getting into the industry, it's easier than ever with the fact that you can reach agencies online by just submitting your photos. Now, I know it's a little bit different because now they're asking performers to have profiles at other places where they can watch your work. But if you are somebody interested in getting into the business, that's going to be the avenue. It's not going to be through me. I don't reach out to strangers. I don't hook up with strangers. I don't do scenes with strangers. I never did. You know, I worked with tested professional individuals in the industry who were well vetted and well known that I felt that I could feel safe with. Stranger danger is still real. So, Eppa, good luck in your quest. Next one, we go to Jonas. Jonas says, "Good day, Lisa Ann. I recently followed you. I noticed there's many pages claiming real Lisa Ann. Please guide to the right pages at Facebook, Instagram, among others. There was also a claim that you have a Telegram account. Please shed some light on it. Thanks, Jonas A." Well, those of you who know me know that imposters are a real problem. I'm not on Telegram, and I am working with my lawyer to have that account taken down. The problem is they want me to set up an account, which I don't even want a Telegram account. But that one is actually the real Lisa Ann, and it's gotten a lot of people. I have read developed conversations with that imposter account. So my accounts are all the same, at the real Lisa Ann. And that's across the board, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky, YouTube, everywhere I'm the real Lisa Ann. So I'm verified on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That should help. And know that if you're getting incoming messages, just have some perspective. Lisa's a busy woman. She most likely is not messaging me. This might be a fake account. I don't DM. I don't answer DM or respond to DM. I keep my profiles very active, sharing what I'm doing. So hopefully Jonas will find the right accounts. Now, if you do come across an imposter account that is reaching out to you, you have many choices. You can report it. Twitter's now making that like a 55-step process. So with that said, it's probably best you just block it so that you don't get confused and dragged into a conversation. These imposter accounts are mainly doing this to scam money out of fans. So they're setting up dates with me. They're setting up interactions with me. Anyone who knows me knows that I only meet fans at events when I have security, and I would never meet someone alone. So that could be a red flag as well. But the reason for the imposter accounts is just like anything else. It's just a scam. Don't fall for it. Next one right here. Okay, David says, "Hi, Lisa Ann." By the way, you can tell when I like a question. I get a big smile. David says, "Hi, Lisa Ann. I would like to ask the following question. You attend a basketball game and you are picked to take one shot for prize money. You have the choice of the half-court shot for $5,000, the three-point shot for $2,500, or a free throw for $1,000. Which shot do you take and why?" Because I have practiced more free throws and I regularly practice three free throws, I'm going to go with the lowest denomination. I'm going to go with $1,000 for the free throw because I know I can make it. And I know that I can, if I don't make it, I can be close enough that either it wheels off the rim, it hits a backboard in an awkward spot, not really hitting that key corner I need. But if I go for the three-point shot and it's weak, or if I go for the half-court shot even more and it doesn't make it, then it's a bad look. So to save face, I'll take the $4,000 less. Okay, I'll open the door. I'll take the $1,000 for the free throw. It's a great question though, because it would be different if you told me, David, you're going to get $5,000 if you make the three-point shot. and I knew in advance because I would just spend every day shooting 100 of those things. Okay. I would practice that. Might even hire somebody to help me. But if I'm going in there cold, free throws are something I do 3 to 5 days a week at my building with my basketball court. I'm all in. I'll take the 1,000 and I'll donate it to Blessings in a Backpack. All right. Last one here for the mailbag. Don't forget, if you want to get involved, it's asklisaann@gmail.com. All right, Lisa Ann. Hello, Lisa Ann. I've already read both of your books, The Life and your second book, The Life Back. My question is, will you be writing more books? Have a great day, Travis. Thank you, Travis. So right now I have an ongoing thread in my phone with myself of book topics. I have one book that I definitely want to put together that's going to be more of a coffee table, like a picture book with just a fun book. So that's in the works. Right now what I'm doing is drawing up the proposal of going out to different PR people to reach talent that I want to use for this book and being able to give them a basic synopsis of the creation of this book. So that's going to be a little bit different for me. But as for a topic that I want to write about, that's what my thread is about. I'm going through and I'm looking and I'm feeling what really comes clean with me. I do want to write another book. I love the process. I love meeting people and hearing from people like Travis who have read my books. And if you haven't yet read my books, now's the time. I am running a free shipping special on my store at shoplisaann.com. The promo code is football. I did that intentionally because I talk a lot of football during the season. I've had a ton of football guests on, and I'm thinking maybe some people aren't into football. If you aren't, now's the time to get into some reading. Both of my books, The Life and The Life Back, are available for you personally autographed at my store, Shop Lisa Ann. At checkout, you're going to use the promo code football for free shipping. Now, this is for U.S. residents only. If you want to get a personally signed book, if you want to get a signed book, you can go to fansutopia.com because Fansutopia is doing all of my international shipping for me. You can always buy a book on Amazon and bring it into one of my trade shows. I've got Exotica New Jersey coming up November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I've got Exotica DC coming up December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So lots of good stuff and an announcement that I made on social media this week. November 10th, 11th, and 12th, I will be in Melbourne, Australia at Sexpo. This is something that we talked about earlier in the year on my podcast that I thought was going to happen, and then it got switched, and then they reached out again. So here we go. I'm doing it. So Australia again, another in my belt visit to Australia. If you are in Australia, I will be at Sexpo in Melbourne, and that is November 10th, 11th, and 12th. Don't forget, every Wednesday night, I am live on YouTube with Howard Bender. You can watch me for Lisa Ann Does Fantasy Better on YouTube at Better Network, as well as at Fantasy Alarm. It's a totally fun show. I love doing it. It's a great way to recap the week before and then look at what we expect for our fantasy players in the week ahead. Thank you all for joining me here for an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.